Hello and welcome to Serene Reflections, a podcast of Dharma Talks from the Wallawa Buddhist Temple. I am Reverend Clarissa Beatty, a Zen monk and Buddhist priest from the mountains of Northeast Oregon, where we practice contemplative meditation, the Chan of Bodhidharma, the Zen of Dogen, the Serene Reflection Meditation of Reverend Master G.U. Kennett. You are invited to let yourself grow naturally still, to let go of the world for a while. Join us in listening in sound, in listening in stillness, turning within to listen from the heart that seeks the way. What is a koan? When this question is asked, the short answer offered is often that a koan is a spiritual question. When this question is asked from the heart, this asking, what is a koan, may itself be the asking of a spiritual question. So, what is a spiritual question? All of our spiritual unfolding involves working with the koan as it arises in everyday life. Besides words and thoughts, there are many, many ways in which the koan arises. It arises especially in what we do and in what we say to others, as we seek to clarify the deepest longing of the heart to cease from harm, do good, and do good for all. What do I struggle with? What ties me in knots? What is my blind spot where I avoid looking? As we go on in practice, patterns may emerge, patterns of which I become increasingly aware, of my particular longings, aversions, and misunderstandings. My spiritual question for this moment and for my lifetime is at once deeply personal to me and at the same time very like all koans everywhere. In his translator's introduction to Dogen's Shobo Genzo, Reverend Hubert offers clarification of the word translated from the Chinese gong'an into the Japanese koan, now in common use in English. He writes, originally the term koan meant a public case, and in Chinese Zen referred to a notable authenticated instance when a disciple came to realize his or her true nature. By Dogen's time, the term koan had become synonymous with the spiritual question which epitomizes that which keeps disciples, as well as anyone else, from directly experiencing what their original nature is. It is the spiritual doubt that keeps someone looking down. The koan stories, then, are usually accounts of how a particular trainee's doubt was resolved. In these stories, the spiritual problem of a trainee often involves a habitual acting counter to at least one of the 10 major Mahayana Buddhist precepts, on either a literal or a figurative level. That is, in some way, the disciple will have persisted in taking the life from someone or something, in taking things that are not given, in giving in to covetous feelings, in saying that which is not so, in trafficking in something that intoxicates or deludes, in putting oneself up and others down, in insulting others, in giving in to anger or resentfulness, in being stingy, or in acting in a disrespectful manner toward Buddha, Dharma, or Sangha. What I call my koan does not reside in any place outside of me. What I experience as my spiritual question is mine alone, and caused only by beginningless greed, anger, and delusion inherited from the past. Because of this, I am the only one who can do the work within my heart to resolve my own koan. In this process, it is important to try not to judge, not to despair, not to give up when obstacles arise. It is important to love, to look up, to go on. At times it may seem that others see my koan more clearly than I do, but they cannot work it out for me. The koan's arising is a gift. The arising of self is a gift, in that it is the very thing which makes it possible to let go in the place where I hang on. This arising means those times when my clinging becomes visible, perceptible, when I can feel it, which is often when it smarts. What is it that smarts? Who suffers? What might be causing this suffering? When we begin to ask such questions within, when we can be willing to wait and open to what responds, then we can begin to unravel the entanglements of self. As long as we are alive, the spiritual question arises. We do not train to stop the arising of the koan. We train so that the teaching within the arising of the koan may clarify, which it does whenever we open to and realize the truth. We may do this in countless small moments of opening and in great realizations, in either and in all. The koan is the means by which we give rise to the heart that seeks the way. Training with the arising of my koan is the way in which I may meet Buddha, the way through which I may become like Buddha. Here is a koan story from the Shobo Genzo, Chapter 45, Kobushin, on what the mind of an old Buddha is. Great Master Zengen Chuko was once asked by a monk, "Just what is the mind of an old Buddha?" The master responded, "His mind's world has caved in." The monk then asked, "Why has his mind's world caved in?" The master replied, "Would you prefer that I put the matter as, he no longer has a self of his own?" Reverend Hubert clarifies Dogen's teaching in a footnote to this koan story. What this koan story and Dogen's subsequent commentary point to is that becoming an old Buddha means letting the world that one's intellect, lowercase mind, has created, collapse, which includes letting go of the notion of a separate, unchanging, permanent self. This collapse or caving in of the mind is not the losing of one's mind. Letting go of the notion of a separate self in spiritual practice is not the psyche breaking down. It's more the breaking up of our personal delusions. The truth is that I myself cannot be separate, unchanging, and permanent. Notice that Reverend Hubert points toward letting go of the illusory world that one's own intellect has created. Understanding the teaching through clarification of my koan means that I let go of my particular clinging, whatever it may be. When I no longer have a self of my own, it will not be because the self has given up. It will be because willingly it has been offered completely for the benefit of all beings, including myself. For this to remain so, it will need to continue to be offered, even as the koan continues to arise. Thus, the arising of my koan is, potentially, also the assertion of truth itself far and wide, in some form of a question. Koan is not just a puzzle or riddle. It's not just an exercise to test or occupy the mind. A koan and its resolution need not be dramatic or sudden. To regard koans only in these ways is to miss where they are pointing. That is, to miss the teaching they are there to offer. This is what is meant by the phrase, mistaking the finger pointing at the moon for the moon itself. The moon is the teaching metaphor which stands for the Buddha nature and its reflection within us. And the finger pointing means the helpful demonstration or indication of where to look in order to discover the teaching there for ourselves. Dogen's teaching is full of koan stories, replete with examples of monks and lay Buddhists realizing their own Buddha nature to varying degrees from a panoply of mind states right where they are. Our daily scriptures, the recorded teachings of the ancestors, contain the distilled essence of those very ancestors' respective personal understandings through clarification of their own koans, and their generous sharing of the fruits of those realizations of Buddha nature with us, so that we too may be successful, each in our own way. In Soto Zen practice these days, prescripted koans are not something we deliberately ponder during formal meditation. We may hear or read koans related in teachings or writings. We certainly bump into the arising of the koan as we go about the day, including sometimes, perhaps, as we get ready to sit in meditation, or are sitting in meditation, or have just arisen from meditation. It is enough to live the training. As Dogen says in his Rules for Meditation, the koan arises naturally in daily life. As it does, we may find that we wish to address our arising spiritual questions to a teacher, even cultivate an ongoing relationship with a wise teacher who can help us on the path by pointing out or helping us to clarify for ourselves the arising of our particular koan. It can be immeasurably helpful to take refuge in this way, to share what is arising within with another person, listening from a place without judgment, reflecting what can be recognized as our common Buddha nature, or where we might look for it. When I meet a Zen teacher who lives the life of the precepts, and when I open to opportunities to follow the teaching, my willingness to ask and to listen can help considerably with the resolving of my own koan as we travel together along the way. Though it can be quite uncomfortable, my awareness of the koan need not be problematic. Because the word koan is sometimes translated as spiritual problem, or one with self-doubt, it can be tempting to view the arising of my koan as a spiritual pebble in my shoe, some burdensome quality I begrudgingly bear that seems to hold me back. When we look at the koan as a problem, it can very quickly become a problem for us. When we look at the arising of the koan as a gateway to liberation from suffering, the koan can then quickly become a gateway to liberation from suffering for us all. In practicing serene reflection meditation, Soto Zen meditation, it can help greatly to literally ask questions of oneself, one's teacher, and the Buddha nature in all things. Wide, open-ended questions which move the heart and mind beyond knowing or not knowing. How may I persevere willingly in training? During times of struggle as well as when spiritual understanding seems to flow easily. When doubt arises, as I become aware of myself looking down, how may I look up? When doubt arises in any form, the practice is to let it go, just as we try to let go of anything which arises. Training with the arising of doubt in this way is the letting go of self and the need to know, while opening to what now may be able to arise when self is let go. There is a saying in Zen, great doubt, great understanding. This saying does not imply that we should go looking for great doubt in order to have great understanding. Rather, that when what feels like great doubt is arising, to recognize it as a wondrous opportunity for awakening by letting it go. The great doubt in Buddhism refers to the deep, wholehearted realization of the possibility that I could be wrong, that my self-centered perspective is not all that exists, that the truth that I seek may lie beyond my limited perceptions, widening my view, becoming a receptacle for ever-flowing truth, for compassion, love, and wisdom. I could be wrong in this way does not preclude I could be right. Transcending such opposites as right and wrong to embrace boundless potentiality. That which we become, our original nature to which we return when we give rise to the wondering mind that is willing to ask. This work with the koan is gentle work, persistent, kind, compassionate work, the work of a lifetime. There are as many ways of letting go of doubt as there are forms in which doubt can arise. Likewise, questions arise and resolve in forms other than words. In a way, each of us is a walking koan and potentially a living teaching. We are a uniquely expressed version of the spiritual question tucked in our heart, wandering on our way until we hear the response of the universe in whatever form will most help us and respond in turn. The answer to the koan of life is all around us. We have only to listen or look or feel for it. We have only to open to it, and it will come pouring into us, pouring from within us, flowing through us, together with all things. It is like water flowing over granite, clear water wearing away ancient stone, lifting and carrying, one by one, the granules of self down into the sea of all existence. In this flowing, the obstacles dissolve. Thank you for joining us in listening to Serene Reflections from the Heart That Seeks the Way. To learn more about this practice, including more about how to meditate, you are invited to visit our website at walawabuddhisttemple.org. Here, in the Kanzan Shrine of our meditation hall, we offer the merit of our practice of serene reflection meditation to all beings, including you, wherever you may be.